What a great God we serve. Amen. He loves us so much. He cares for us so much. He has provided salvation through His Son. Jesus willingly came and paid the great price for all of our sin that we might have life with God, to be with Him forever, not continuing in the corruption that traps us so easily. Good morning. Great to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. Good to see each and every one of you, friend and foe and enemy and anybody else. If you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Romans chapter 1. We will be looking at the closing portion of that first chapter. I've been blessed abundantly through my life. God's blessings have been poured out upon me from before I was born. My parents came to know Jesus Christ shortly after they got married. And then I have three older siblings, two older brothers and an older sister. And then I showed up as a final surprise to stir up the family. And they were already heavily involved in serving Jesus Christ, active in living out a life of faith in Jesus Christ, giving of themselves sacrificially. And so I learned from their example, as well as from their teaching, to live in Christ, to make choices that are pleasing to God, because we are all accountable for what choices we make. Did I do a good job at it? No, I had my bad days. I had my bad choices along with those that were good. And by the grace of God, we just sung about the amazing grace that comes through Jesus Christ. God has blessed me abundantly through the many years that He has given us. We've been blessed with children. Now we've got grandchildren and prospects of another grandchild. So God is good. We're seeing blessings. We got to see our other son the last few hours. He stopped in on his way through town, and so we have two sons that we're very proud of and excited to see their growth in the future. And we pray that God will use them in mighty ways, and we pray that you will be used in mighty ways, because God is good. Amen. He has good plans for every single one of us. There were times of trial and struggle. I grew up finding out that not everybody is good or right or true. And some of those lessons began very early. I grew up in a little country area. My school that I went to was 3 miles away from the house. And so the little town that I went to, the population was less than 1,500 people. And so in our district, people would be bused in from all over, from miles around. All of us kids would come into a school. I think there were less than 600 people in the entire school. And I was looking at the numbers. Some of our elementary schools have over 300 children just in grade school here. Well, that was pretty much the entire student body, from little ones to the high school. At our where I was raised, we all used the same lunchroom. We took turns, staggered in, supposed to be us little kids first, and then the older ones come in later. Well, one day I was in the lunchroom a little bit longer than normal, and the high school crowd started coming in. There was a bunch of high school boys came in, and I was doing something, putting my tray away or finishing up, whatever, and one of the high school boys called me over to him, and he told me, "You know, I just don't have enough money to get my lunch today. Do you have any money you could loan me?" Well, I was a little guy in first, second grade, and I said, "Well, I think I've got a nickel." And I pulled out my milk money, my nickel, and I gave it to him. And oh, the high school boy, he just started laughing. He turned around and walked away with his friends, and come to find out, he didn't need my nickel. He was just taking my money. He was going to see if he could hoodwink me. Did he? Yes, he did. I learned the lesson. I didn't get my milk that day. My little snack for later on in the day. And I was rather upset about that. And it still stays with me. And through the years, I've had that many people tell me stories of their great needs. And I've learned to sometimes say, no, I can't help you. Other times I say, this is given in the name of Jesus Christ. I trust that you are telling me the truth. This is between you and God now, and you will answer to God for how you deal with this. We don't know how we're going to be tricked sometimes, do we? We don't know. There are so many people out there trying to take advantage of us. None of you have that trouble, do you? No salesmen have been coming to your doors trying to sell you oceanfront property in the middle of Arizona, have they? There are salesmen out there constantly, people out there constantly trying to take advantage of those who are not alert to what can take place, what is the truth in life. We see and hear the moral breakdown in our own country. Corruption is on the rise. Theft, deceit, violence, and death are on the rise. If we watch the news, it's depressing. Law enforcement is being mocked and defunded. Officers are degraded and murdered. Children are being exposed to immorality, to drugs that will kill them. And hatred grows. And we're in a world that needs who? Jesus Christ. We have the answer. You have the answer. So many people have the answer sitting on their bookshelf or buried in a drawer someplace. If we'll just turn to God's Word and learn to learn the truth of Jesus Christ. The message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Our problems all began when Adam and Eve believed Satan's lies there at the tree instead of depending upon the truth of God. Since that first sin, humanity has been engaged in a constant battle between choosing truth or choosing lies. God even sent Jesus to proclaim that He is the what? The way, the truth, and the life, that no man will come to the Father except through Him. We are still promoting that message. We still uphold that message. But so many hear it and walk away. They turn their back. We still need to keep holding up that message, holding up the light, even though most people continue rejecting God's truth, following their lusts of the present thrills, the excitement, the power and the adrenaline rush. But all that is just temporary. And somehow we need to relate to them and show them that faithfulness to God through Jesus is the answer. The Apostle Paul begins laying the framework for why every human being who is ever born needs a Savior. Here in this book of Romans, we have worked through the introduction of his trust and his praise of those who are believers in Jesus Christ. But now we come to a section that is rather depressing, heartbreaking. And we need to be aware of it because it is part of God's Word. I want to encourage you, don't just focus on these verses that we're going to be looking at today. This is just showing us why everybody needs Jesus. And if you find yourself somewhere in the middle of this mix, I want to encourage you, Jesus can get you out of this mess. He is the Savior. He has all power and all authority. He is our Creator. He's the one who forms us in the womb to begin with. He gave us life, and He wants us to have everlasting life. But you've got to put your faith and trust in Him. So the Apostle Paul lays out all this framework of why we do need Jesus, the Savior sent from God. He is led to summarize our human condition, the blight of humanity, the curse of the human soul. He describes the destructive nature of sin when it is left unchecked. If you don't put a stop to sin now, it will destroy you. It will destroy those whom you love. And Paul tries to warn us. He tries to point out to us the terrible condition of humanity if we let Satan continue to rule our lives. What happens when people begin exchanging truth for a lie? Well, God inspires Paul to give us this text to warn us. Before we read it, let's ask God to guide us in understanding. Father in heaven, we come to you today because we believe in you. We trust in you. Because of our sin, we have been separated from you. That wonderful relationship that Adam and Eve experienced at the very beginning has been lost. Corruption and evil has filled the hearts of humanity for generations, and now we are in this world that has been plagued by sin and corruption. Father, as we read this section of Paul's letter to the church at Rome and to other Christians, to us, help us to understand the desperate need that all humanity has for the Savior whom you planned for, prepared, and sent. We thank you that Jesus has fulfilled his mission. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered the power of sin. He has conquered the power of corruption. And we can have that same victory through him. Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts to help us truly examine ourselves to see if we are allowing sin to linger in our lives. Help us to recognize sin in others' lives that need help and to relate to them, to explain to them their great need for Jesus. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your scriptures. Guide us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from Romans chapter 1, verse 18, through the end of the chapter, verse 32. The Apostle Paul explains, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is a challenging passage, but it is very clear of God's concern for the fall of humanity into depravity. The first point of this message is that God condemns all activity outside of His plan. God condemns all activity outside of His plan. The very first people, Adam and Eve, began their relationship with God face to face there in the Garden of Eden. Humans were made in the image of God to be like God, to walk with Him, to be with Him forever. He created us to have unity with Him. He desires for us to be with Him, not just for a day or two, but forever. Now we see that man broke the chain. Man broke the command, disobeyed their father. Man has revealed his wrath against all sinful activity. We are told in verse 18, he's done so in several ways. God's wrath has been very clear over and over. The Bible records multiple cases of God's wrath, and we are expected to take note of these cases. It's not just in the Bible, but it's elsewhere in the world. We should take note of the oral and written histories of cultures that preceded us. The majority, if not all, of the ancient religions that have been formed by man record a creator God that made humanity to start with. Now, some of those groups today are trying to relate that to science, people from other planets coming in, from other worlds, from other realms. But the Scripture and the ancients are clear that it started with one God, one Creator God, who is the Creator of all things. They speak of the human disobedience crafted by a deceiver, and quite often that deceiver is represented as a snake. In the Babylonian diggings thousands of years ago, the archaeologists have found signets representing a man and a woman sitting under a tree, and guess what's around the tree? A serpent coiled around the tree. This is a story that has come from the very beginnings. If we would look to history. Now, I've told you before, I hated history. I despise history, learning all the dates and figures and people because I didn't understand how important it was when I was young. Now I'm older. I'm getting a little bit smarter. Not much, but a little bit. And it is important that we look to our history to learn from those who've gone before us. If we don't, we're going to fail to and make the same mistakes over and over again, to repeat the corruption and the evil that has taken place in the past. We are told in Scripture that all of these man-made religions are hopeless, they are helpless, they are pointless. They do not save the person. There is only one belief that saves us, and that is through the God of the Bible, through the Savior of the Scriptures. What's His name? Jesus Christ. And anytime we get away from that, it's not going to work. No matter how relentlessly people pursue another religion, it is useless in the long run. Scripture warns us against idolatry, putting our faith in other systems and other beings and other creatures. Quite often, in the Old Testament and still going on in the world today, what are these idols picturing? They are picturing people or animals or creatures or some kind of power, but not giving credit to the actual Creator, the Lord God. Verse 20 speaks of the witness of creation, identifying the work of a Creator. We look around. Scripture speaks that tells us that there are more stars than can be counted. And in the early days, the early scientists were counting the stars that they could literally see in the heavens, and they thought they had them all numbered and counted. And then things called the telescope came along. And what happened? Hey, there's more stars out there. And some of those that we thought were stars are actually galaxies with billions of stars in them. And what had happened? We'd gone to the Hubble telescope and another telescope. I can't think of the name of the latest one. Floating out there in space, and they are observing billions and billions of galaxies filled with billions and billions of stars, and we can't even count the number of the stars, which God told us in the beginning. There's more stars than can be counted. If we just listened to God to start with, we would have found out the answer. It's not that we shouldn't look, but we need to trust God's Word. God's Word is filled with knowledge from the one who created it to begin with. In all of the complexity that we see, there is also a uniformity showing a designer who used a plan that works. Why does all of the different life forms have this thing called DNA? Because it works. And it comes from somebody who knew what he was doing. The Creator knew what he was doing. And he still knows what he's doing. If we would just look to see, we see design that comes from Creator God, our Father God, who's revealed to us in the Scripture, who not only talks to us through people, but he actually put on human flesh and came and walked among us. The large variety, the great variety and complexity of life found only on earth is evidence of the one Creator. The miracles of Jesus also prove the Creator and Jesus, and only Him has conquered the grave by His power, which supersedes all, and He's told us He is coming back to see if we believed His message or not. Human nature and conscience demand an explanation that is only found in the Creator God. Here we are with creativity. We have emotions, the ability to reason, and other qualities of humanity that can only be explained as God's provision to make us like Him. Why is it we are the only creatures who do all these complex things? Now, a lot of people are saying, well, look at this. We've trained the great ape to do sign language. Well, how many is the next generation going to do sign language too? No, they have to be trained. I've got a smart dog, a lot of people say. Do they talk? Oh, yeah, they talk to me. Oh, what language? We as humans can learn multiple languages and communicate with each other. The world is trying to tell us that, oh, we're just an advanced animal. Scripture tells us we are made in the image of God. Who are we going to believe? The Scripture? God's Word? Or the people around us? We look around us and we see somebody who does not develop themselves and use the characteristics that God has given to them, and we consider them less than a full person. They are falling short. They are diminishing their ability. Is that right? Is that good? We qualify that and say, no, that's not good. Part of that qualification comes from God's Word. God calls for us to learn, to advance, to improve, to give God the glory. The Bible is God's reference library to help people learn. We are provided with information regarding our beginnings, our failures, examples of both good and bad, rules that are designed to help us prosper, and the list goes on and on. The Scripture talks about beauty and our emotions and so much more. And the Scripture tells us there is more to this world than just what we see and hear and experience with our emotions and our senses. Scripture lists multiple examples of divine punishment affecting individuals, groups, and the whole world. Do any of you have weeds? It seems like I remember an announcement earlier today. Why are there weeds? If we go back to the book of Genesis, it explains to us, why do weeds grow better than the crops that we're trying to raise? Well, it's because they're genetically made different, and you know, you can go into the technical reasoning, but if you go back to Genesis, it's part of the curse for our failing to obey God. Why is it the human woman who is bearing a child has such great pain in labor? And if you look at the animal kingdoms, they have their young, they jump up, and away they go. Go back and read your book of Genesis. It's part of the curse upon humanity for our breaking God's plan. The Scripture tells us that there are punishments. Weeds, extreme labor pains for women, it's all a result of sin. Noah's flood destroyed the ancient world and is spoken of in all of the ancient records of historical records of humanity. Plus, there's the geological and fossil evidence that surrounds us, displayed all over the earth. Up here on the Sandias are ocean fossils on the top of the peak. Scripture tells us everything was underwater at one point. Are we going to believe the Bible or some geologist who lives for maybe 60, 70, 80 years and he's gone? There's the confusion of the languages. Why are there so many languages if we're all from one ancestor? The Bible tells us why. God confused the languages because we were disobeying God once again. The nation of Israel survives after thousands of years, whereas other great nations, larger, more powerful than them, were wiped totally off the face of the earth. The only reason we know about it is because they're listed in the Scripture, and the archaeologist has dug up the remains. Why are those civilizations gone? Scripture tells us many of them are because it was because of God's judgment, His punishment for their sin. God has warned us that this universe will end because of His what? His judgment upon sin. He has repeatedly spoken of the corruption of the human sin, even contaminating this world. And Paul will get into that more in Romans chapter 8. He discusses that this creation is groaning under the pressure of human sin. So that is why God is going to make all things what? New. The Almighty is righteous, and He will destroy all sin and every source of sin. Only those who are righteous and those who practice it will reign with God in eternity. We will be restored if we will walk in the path of Jesus Christ presented in the Scriptures. The second part of this sermon is that people who reject God grow worse in conduct. Paul discusses this the downward spiral, the corruption that happens when you start evil and don't put the brakes on. God is the designer and the creator, and He knows our capabilities and our weakness. Anytime we leave God and His scriptures out of the process, failure will soon follow. God does not force His ways upon humanity, but we cannot defy His design without some consequences. Now, I'm a guy. I have a toolbox. And there are different tools that are specified for certain things. In my pocket, I've got my trusty pocket knife. I grew up on the farm, and every good farm boy has his pocket knife. And yet, I got problems with my pocket knife because I've used it for some jobs that it wasn't designed for. The tip is broken off the end because I was prying on something I shouldn't have been prying on. It's dull because I have been using it for things it shouldn't have been used for. I've got other tools that some of them are even broken because I used them for something they weren't designed for. Our human nature is designed to serve God, but we're broken. We need fixed. And that's why Jesus came, to bring us back into a revived, renewed relationship so that we can be with God in perfection. Rejection of God's ways leads to dangerous life choices. God's list of sinful practices is long. It includes all kinds of things. We see lies, murder, theft, all kinds of things listed here. But God has always condemned specifically all sexual lust and activity that is outside of marriage. And He deals specifically right through here. God, through Paul, specifically identifies the practices of lesbians and homosexuals as wrong. They are degrading passions. They are degrading sins that lead to moral decay. American culture has morally plunged in my lifetime, and many of you have seen it as well. When I was a boy, you didn't talk about homosexuality. You didn't talk about lesbians. It was just a no-no. You just didn't talk about it. As time spread, as time moved on, in the 80s, the AIDS epidemic broke out. And that was a confrontation in the moral world. Because why was it spreading so rapidly? Why was it happening? What culture was it happening mainly in? It was happening in the immoral world. And it was spreading to other people as well. Sally lost a brother because he got a blood transfusion from somebody infected with AIDS. He wasn't involved with it, but it took his life. And now today, in our culture, anytime you watch television, you have all kinds of commercials promoting all the drugs that will remedy a certain problem that is caused by the lifestyle. Not only that, we have people who are telling us that if you don't practice this or allow your children to practice these things, then we are weird. We're abnormal. No. God said those are degrading passions. They are wrong. They are evil. They're sin. And it's not just homosexuality, lesbianism. It's any sexual activity except for a married man and woman. Scripture is very clear. Our culture today is telling us that all these things which God calls sin, our culture says, oh, no, it's fine, it's all right, it's good. And Jesus died so that we would stop being engaged in such activities. Just as murders and thefts are sin, so is any type of sexual activity outside of marriage. God is gracious. He will forgive. But we have to be willing to make changes that please and honor Him. Rejection of God's ways leads to breakdowns in civility. Have you noticed how angry our world is getting? The lack of peace being appreciative and being thankful and people being kind to other people. The ways of God require that we have love for God and love for other people. Even loving our enemies. That's a challenge, isn't it? But when love is removed, we end up with a self-centered world that erupts in corruption. And the list is given here for all the ways we can get out of step with God. People begin living lower than animals. Animals don't even treat each other the way humans treat each other. We seem to love watching people suffer. I'm talking in general terms. The human race now loves to create torture for somebody else. It reminds me of our cats that we used to have out in the barnyard. They'd catch a mouse and play with it before they finally ate it. But we as people go further than just playing with other humans. We antagonize them and drag it on and on and on. We've heard reports today that there are certain groups that take pleasure in watching the slow death of their victims, cutting them slowly. That's not good. How do you overcome that? There's only one answer. Jesus Christ. If we're doing it just because I think it should be done, well, who are you? But when we're doing it because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who controls all the universe and holds our life in the palm of His hands, and He says, stop doing sin. Stop participating in sin. I'm going to hold you accountable. There is a judgment coming. I will destroy you and you will not like it. Are we going to listen? Will our world listen? Let's read that list again of things that people are doing wrong. Verse 28 and following. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. If there's anything in that list that you're having trouble with, are you going to stop? Or are you going to continue? Should we continue in sin that grace might abound? Paul asked in the beginning of Romans chapter 6, verse 1. No! How shall we who died to sin still live in it? If we are God's children, we must throw away all of those practices. Have them no longer in our lives. The sad thing is, have you read verse 1 of chapter 2? Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, For you judge practices. You who judge practice the same thing. We learn in chapter 2 that all of us have sinned. We've all broken God's rules. Somewhere along the line, we have broken God's rules. And we may be breaking them today. You may break them tomorrow. But Jesus died so that you can get out of that corruption, out of that cycle, so that you can begin living in righteousness, doing the things that God wants you to do, living with the Holy Spirit in control of your lives, doing those things that please God, living a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Galatians. Will we? Are we? Do we? All people are guilty of at least one violation against God, and we all need redemption, and that's why we need a Savior. Jesus came, and He's fulfilled His part. Will we do our part? Or will we continue to turn in God's truth and accept Satan's lies? Satan's lies are much easier. They're exciting. They're thrilling in the moment. They get our adrenaline rush going. And I love to sit and eat and eat and eat. That's called gluttony in the Scripture. And then I regret it in the end. And God said, don't do it in the first place. What? It's so good. It tastes so good. I can't quit. Oh, why did I go so far? And all of sin is like that. If sin was not enjoyable, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't participate. But Satan said, come here. Just a little bit more. It won't hurt you. And before we know it, we are trapped. We're just sliding down the muddy slope. Our text today is only focused upon the terrible condition that the human race has been subject to since the Garden of Eden. Since the Prince of Lies say, Eve, God really didn't mean what He said. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the serpent of old is doing all that he can to lure every person away from God's blessings. Satan is cursed and he knows it. The evil one and all of the powers of darkness are cursed because of their rebellion against God, and they are jealous of humanity. They are jealous of you. They don't want you to have God's blessing. They don't want you to live with God. They want you to go to hell with them. And they are doing everything they can to stop you from pleasing God. Hell was created by God for Satan and the powers of evil and corruption. Those who rebelled against God and knew better, they were in the presence of God and they still rebelled. We are challenged. We don't have the privilege of seeing God face to face. But we have a Savior who came and presented Himself. Jesus Christ came and paid for our sin. He broke the cycle of the power of sin and darkness and the grave so that we can have life. And the question is, are we listening to Jesus, the Son of God? Do we hear His invitation? Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Lay your life down at the foot of Jesus. He died on the cross to set you free from the power of sin and darkness. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the great redemption Jesus has provided. He has gone to the cross. He's fulfilled the plan of redemption. And He's coming again in power and glory and majesty. Father, let us all be found faithful and true. And when He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," I pray that He'll be pointed at each and every one of us, that we will celebrate You, be in Your presence forever. Help us to overcome the lies and the deceit of the evil one. Help us to help each other. Let us be an example to those around us that there is a better way, an eternal way, a way of life and peace that is pleasing to You through Jesus Christ. Guide us and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.